All right, fantastic. Really excited to be here. Glad you all joined us today. I'm Nick Robinson, Senior Product Marketing Manager with My Analytics, Office 365. And I'm really pumped to be joined today by our customer, Bill Diekman, who's the Director of Information Technology, Architecture, and Security at Cupertino Electric. He's gonna provide us with some insights into how he and his team have used My Analytics with great effect. And I'm also joined by Peter Mabey, who's the Group Program Manager for the My Analytics product. So let's go ahead and jump in. We have a couple objectives. We want to introduce My Analytics and make sure everybody's up to speed on what's available today and what's been recently released. We're going to share Bill's customer success story and what he and his team would have been able to do with the capability. And then Peter's going to join us for some futures, what's coming next, and what you can get excited about over the next couple months. And finally, we want to inspire you to reinvent your productivity and think about the ways that this type of capability can help you transform the way that you work. So that's what we'll focus on. And to do that, we're gonna start off with a few pieces to set it up, and then we'll get into a demo, customer evidence, and another demo. So first off, I wanna make sure everybody's aware, the news we announced on Monday, Office Delve Analytics is now Microsoft My Analytics. We had the blog post, we hit it in the keynote, but I wanna make sure everybody's centered on that and aware of that. And so we took some customer feedback around how Delve and Delve Analytics were similar but really different, and we want to create some separation around that. For now, you will still access My Analytics dashboard through the Delve web experience, but over time it will move into its own app within the app launcher, and you can access it there. And just to level set so everyone's aware, My Analytics is like the Fitbit for productivity, giving you insights into your time and network at work, so you can focus on what matters most. We'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about work today and what we see out there in the world and what's going on. And so we have some statistics that kind of illuminate the problem that we're going after for our customers. So the Gallup poll tells us that there's an employee engagement crisis. Only 13% of employees are engaged worldwide in their jobs. And employee engagement is actually critical to productivity, profitability, retention, all types of things that organizations really, really care about. We also know that meetings can be an issue. 47% of meeting time is seen as unproductive. That's a large amount of the time that we spend in meetings, low-value meetings. We also know that there's a kind of an email overload cycle going on, where 28% of the average knowledge worker's week is spent managing email. And interruptions are abound. Some studies say that knowledge workers are interrupted every 3 minutes, and that the average knowledge worker is checking their inbox 30 times an hour. So with this bombardment of information in the modern workplace, it can also feel hopeless. We have some statistics around 71% of millennials are mentally checked out. And by 2019, there's predictions that we'll be getting about 100 emails a day. I don't know about you in the audience, I think I'm already there. I think I'm past that. So I don't know who these folks are that are still trending by 2019, but they'll have to adjust. And then only 70% of earned vacation days are taken. But My Analytics creates a new possibility. This is insights into how time is actually spent that can help you identify problem areas and track progress. And with data-driven information, it can really be a catalyst to change behavior. It's not just instinct or gut feel. It's actually backed by real data to show you where you have opportunities to be more effective at work. An outcome is you can increase productivity, efficacy, and sense of control, and create better work habits. Take back your time with My Analytics. That's what it's all about, empowering individuals, whether you're an executive, whether you're a manager, or a worker in an organization, to really feel empowered and take ownership of their work life. So I want to jump into a quick demo about what's out there today and how I use it in my job. So I'm just going to switch over quickly to my machine and make sure that's up and ready to go. And so I want to just orient around the personal dashboard of My Analytics and show you a little bit about how it works and how I incorporate it into my work life. So first off, you can see that I have some information about the broad buckets of time and how I'm spending my time at work. So you've got meeting time, time in email, focus time, which is really time to work or white space time on my calendar, as well as after hours time, which is work that I do outside of my core office hours that I set myself. So if I'm doing emails and meetings and into the evening time, it accrues into that after hours bucket. Now I also have an insight here. You can see where it says food for thought. And this is something new that's coming into the product currently. And this actually gives me some insights to say, hey, after hours work isn't a problem just for me. I'm actually impacting my organization in a way that I hadn't realized. And it can estimate that my coworkers are spending about 5 hours of their own after hours time reading the emails that I've sent, either into the evening or early in the morning. So that gives me insight. Maybe I should change that behavior or think about how I can reduce that after hours activity so I don't have that impact on my organization and not only just myself. And so to go into this a little bit further, I've noticed a trend lately where my meeting hours are going up. It's been a busy time at work. My focus hours are going down. I'm way below my goal. And my after hours are also trending up. And so this is kind of an issue for me. And it's something that I'm wrestling with. And so to dive in a little bit further, I'm going to jump down to my meeting habits component. And I can see here that of the 25 hours of meetings, almost 26 hours of meetings I was in, almost 13 hours of those I was multitasking. So I know what's going on here. It's kind of a coping strategy. Basically, I'm trying to catch up on priority items when I'm in a meeting or a part of a meeting that's not as relevant to me. And so I can look into this and jump into my view details around my meetings and do some diagnostics around what's going on in this case. And so there's a couple places where I can actually hone in and identify an opportunity. So I've got this meeting here, and I kind of scan and I look for places where I'm multitasking that are recurring or longer or conflicting. And I can see here there's an Ignite Content Owner Sync and Next Steps. And as you can imagine, we put a lot of effort into getting ready for Ignite over the last few weeks. But this is a meeting I'm always multitasking in, and it's conflicting. It's a low-value meeting for me. So I have a couple opportunities here. I can identify someone else on my team and delegate them to go to that meeting and take back that time to make sure that I'm focused on my right activities. There's another example here, which is a weekly product update. And I know what's going on here as well. It's an hour meeting every week. And I read out for about 10 minutes of that meeting. I actually contribute content to that portion of the meeting. And the rest of the time is other stakeholders contributing and reading out to the meeting as well. So what I'm doing is catching up on my email, my to-do list during that time. And this is an hour every week. So I've actually reached out to ask the organizer, hey, is there a way we can actually just invite me for the portion I need to be there or handle it by email and recover 45 minutes on my calendar each week right there. So these insights really enable me to take action in a data-driven way and remove it from this kind of gut feel, emotional sense where, hey, your meeting is not that valuable to me, instead of to be able to say, I have other higher priority items and I know that they're higher priority because I'm actually prioritizing them in my workflow. Jumping down to email habits, this is another place I hone in on my dashboard. This percent read by me, this tells me how much of the mail coming to my inbox am I actually getting through. And this is an indicator that I use as kind of a 10,000 steps rule for my productivity. I want to be between 95 and 100% of my inbox so that I feel on top of things and I'm all caught up. Now, the last couple weeks have been busy, and so I'm kind of low on my email read. I've only read about 83% of my mail that's coming in. Now, it's not about reading all of the email in my inbox. It's about reading the right email in my inbox. So I'm going to jump up to my top collaborators portion, where I can see the people that I've been working with the most over the last time period. And I can see some insights about them. So right here, I can see Raina. She's one of my top collaborators for the recent period. We don't work together all the time, but we're doing a project together right now. And I've only read about 57% of her email. So I'm behind on her email. And I know I have a meeting coming up with Raina soon. So I'm going to go ahead and jump over to Outlook based on that data-driven cue that I should catch up on the email with Raina and see what's going on. So let me just jump over to Outlook here. See if this will respond. If not, we got a backup plan in place. I hear the demo gods have been a little tough this week. Ah, here we go. So here's an email from Raina, right in my inbox. It's unread. Rather than just go through and read all the mail through from Raina on a search, I'm going to open my My Analytics add-in right within Outlook. And I'm going to get insights about my relationship with Raina and what's going on. And I can see that I have 5 unread mails from Raina right here in the My Analytics add-in. I can also see the response time that I usually have to her. Usually I'm getting back to her pretty quickly as compared to my overall response time. And so I can take action and say, hey, I'm going to read all these mails that I have unread from Raina right here. I'll just click over, do some spinning. And it gives me all the mails that are associated with Raina so I can catch up quickly in advance of my meeting coming up later this week. We'll just give that a minute. I can also get a sense of what's going on mails that I've sent to large groups. And so we have a deadline coming up. The team's been working hard on a project to deliver, and we had some recent changes that came down from leadership that I need to know that the team has gotten in order to change course as we work up to our deadline. So here's all the mails I have from Raina. I can click through and quickly catch up and make sure I'm up to date on my relationship with her. So back to the project changes email. I can see here the mails that I've sent that qualify for these read insights around read activity and percent of recipients read. And so I can jump into this real quick and say, hey, this project changes email I sent to the team, I want to make sure the message landed. And this tells me of the 12 people I sent it to, almost everyone read it, if not everyone, and almost everyone read it right away. So with that, I know that the changes have landed, the team has adjusted course, and we're back on track with the project deliverables. This gives me insight that now I don't need to go walk down the hall or make a phone call or catch up with the team. The message has landed. So jumping back over to my My Analytics dashboard, I want to show off a new feature that we've just shipped and is just rolling out, which is important people. So I'm not always collaborating with Raina directly. She and I don't work together all the time, but we have a project going right now. And I want to make sure that I stay up to date with Raina throughout this project. So I'm actually just going to add her to my important people. And that way I have insights into my collaboration with her, like total time spent, meeting time, how much of her email I've read, and my response time to her at the ready. I'm also going to add all my directs so that I can get insights into my relationship with my direct reports, which is really important for me as a manager, because I know that my engagement with my direct reports is directly related to their job satisfaction and, in fact, productivity. And now we've also added the ability to add external contacts. So Bill, who you know and you're going to hear from in a minute, is one of my important customer contacts. He's a great source of feedback. He's always given us ideas, but I want to make sure that I'm up to date on all the information coming from Bill and that I'm not neglecting him. So if he sends me an email, I'm getting back to him quickly, and I'm making sure to take that information in and incorporate it into our plans. So I can actually search to add by email and add Bill quickly here right into my important contacts and get those insights. So that's just a little bit about how I'm using My Analytics today between the dashboard and the Outlook add-in. Just with those quick actions and insights, I was able to recover 90 minutes of meeting time per week. I was able to catch up on emails from Raina that were critical to our project and make sure that the message had landed with the rest of my team. So let me switch back into the slides before we transition over to Bill and just talk a little bit about the ROI that customers are already receiving from My Analytics. What we found is that incorporating these insights into your daily work habits has enabled customers to recover 4 hours per week of meeting time per employee. And if you extrapolate this out to an organization with 1,000 employees over the course of a month, you're looking at what equates to 100 more FTEs in your organization. This is significant impact in the bandwidth, the capacity that you would have in your team. And what we're seeing is that you have improved employee engagement and satisfaction. When you focus on the things that matter and are really the priorities, you feel more effective. You feel better in your job. You have a higher impact. And there's a corresponding reduction in wasted time and effort. We know that satisfaction can be impacted by email overload and useless meetings. Triaging those things really boosts your ability to focus on what matters most and have the impact you want to have at work. So before I bring Bill up to talk about how he's implemented this with his team, I want to show a quick video. It's kind of a fun video. It's a short one, and then we'll get Bill up here to talk through his experience.
Right.
Just kind of a fun little video to show off the feeling of being empowered. Hey, I'm gonna, instead of doing a daily sales update that no one reads, I'm gonna switch that to a weekly update. I'm gonna get some time back into my day. Excellent. All right. So quick introduction for Bill. He's the director of IT down at Cupertino Electric, and he's kind of a growth mindset, productivity hacker type of guy. He's brought this on board with his team. He's incorporated into their workflow with some amazing results, and we're very happy to have him here today. Bill, take it away.
Thank you very much, Nick. I appreciate that. My name is Bill Diekman. I'm Director of IT for Cupertino Electric. Cupertino Electric is a large national electrical and engineering construction company. We work 17 states right now, but our roots are in Silicon Valley. So you name every tech company that's here, we see them, we work with them. These are our customers. This is our business. We're 60 years old, so for a brick and mortar business, we've been around for a long time, which means our habits are already instilled, our behaviors are already there. We have a culture that's ours. Last year, 5 million man hours in the field. So as you can imagine, the number of people that I have working out in the field all over the place, how do we collaborate with them? How do I know what they're doing? How do I measure? How do we improve? $1 billion worth of data centers constructed to date, over 1 gigawatt of solar fields installed to date. Give you some context of what our growth has been like. 2010 had approximately 350 tech users. 70% of them sat in the office. They sit at a desk, they sit with a computer, a laptop, they're plugged in, they're hardwired. Today, 6 years later, 1,400 users, 70% of them are in the field. Mobility, collaboration in the field is critical to us. And how do I get there? Last year, we moved to Office 365. For me, it was initially just to get the email moved over. We offloaded our email, offloaded all of our files, SharePoint. It's now up in Office 365. My users are happy. They're getting the things that they need. But there was something that came of interest to me immediately. There's a product that I'd never seen before, Delve. And the first time you see Delve, all these things start showing up. There's documents there that they're mine. There's documents there that are somebody else's, but I've never seen that document before. What is this? So Delve became an immediate impact application for the business. Now my team had an idea of all these different documents that everybody was working on. I wanted to learn more about Delve. So off to the Microsoft community I went. In the Delve group, somebody started talking about a product at the time called Delve Analytics. Today's my analytics. I'd never heard of it and went, okay, what is this? Quick little demo, understood it. Nick's demo right there was perfect for me. I measure everything. I measure the business. I can tell you how fast we convert sales leads. I can tell you how my uptime is for my network. But I can't tell you the value of a meeting or the value of an individual working for me as it relates to their productivity. My analytics comes in. And what do I see? 75% of my time is sitting in meetings. The amount of time that I'm spending on email, the number of emails that I'm seeing, and more importantly, how much time I'm spending before and after work doing things work-related. So I thought for myself, okay, if this is me, what's my team doing? So immediately deployed my analytics to the rest of my staff. all of my peers, my managers, and the rest of my IT staff. In our very first meeting, anybody else does this, Monday morning meeting, our operational meeting, we come in, I bring up my analytics, and we start working through this. I'm showing them 34 hours a week in meetings. Am I being productive? Are you being productive? So for the next hour, we talked about this and what this meant to our business. So as the IT manager is sitting around and looking at this, we realize there's one really, really important thing here. We are spending way too much time in meetings, not being productive at our tasks that we should be doing. It's a behavioral problem. The company we work for is a project management company. What we do and what we do best, as we take it, is conduct meetings and schedule meetings and sit in meetings and keep working in meetings. And we're good. But I know we can be better when I'm looking at these statistics. So the team sat together and said, okay, what can we change right now to bring value back to the business? And for me, that's critical, is how do I bring my value back into the business? Realign how we deal with meetings. I know a lot of people don't have agendas. We don't have agendas. How many people have expected outcomes in the meetings? We didn't. Our weekly staff meetings, the first 30 minutes of a 60-minute meeting block was report outs. Wait a second. We have email, we have groups, we have SharePoint, we now have Planner. Why are we doing report outs to the whole team when we already know what the report already is? Immediate mandate is these 60-minute meetings get cut to 30 minutes. We come prepared, we show up in the meeting, we already know the questions, we already know the critical keys that we need to come in with, and we have an expected outcome for every meeting. So in a matter of 2 to 3 weeks, we've gone from 60-minute meetings to 30-minute meetings, and almost every single one of those meetings ends in 20 minutes. Multiply that over 35 people in the IT department, 4 to 5 meetings a week, I'm returning 4-5 hours of time, focus time, back to the individuals who are trying to do all the work that we need them to do. Work-life balance. If you supervise people, if you manage people, a really critical component to that is knowing how happy your staff is. You can walk around your departments, you can take a look at these people and see what they're doing, but they're not going to tell you, hey, Bill, I'm spending too much time reading emails after work. I'm going to meetings during lunch now because we decided to get really creative with our meetings. They're not comfortable necessarily to come up to their supervisors and say, hey, can you please slow this down for me? It's just the way it works for us. But as leaders, we take that information and look at it. I can go have the conversation with them. I can have the conversation with my peers. I can have the conversations with the rest of the leadership in the company and say, hey, we're burning our people out. Look at all the meetings that they're sitting at. Look at how much email they're reading. And if we think about how much email they're reading, I mean, Nick said, 100 emails a day. I'm somewhere in the vicinity of 350 to 400. So by 2019, I expect that to be bigger. The speed at which they're reading the emails is not fast enough, which means we send another email and we don't respond to that. So now we send a group email and maybe we respond to that. So directly from my analytics, we started changing behavior in the IT department. We've decided that we don't have to hold meetings the way we were taught to, the way that we learned. The next person who comes into our team doesn't learn the same bad behaviors that we did. We immediately set up best practices. We have a best practice template for setting up a meeting. It must have an agenda. It must have expected outcomes. Invite people to the meeting who need to be there in the time block that they need to be there. I have sat in 3, 4, 5 hour meetings to be there for 15 minutes. I never want to invite somebody to a 4 hour meeting for 15 minutes of their time. Our mandate is schedule them for that amount of time that they need to be there, everybody that way, and return that valuable time back to the business. I had a gut feeling about how the team worked. We're good. I knew we could be better. My analytics proved me right the first week that we turned it on. So what we're going to do with it going forward? We use my analytics now as part of our staff meetings. I'm looking forward to what's going to be coming out in the product in the future, but what's there today works for us. We can sit down and we can talk openly, transparently, about how our work life is running, about how our peers and how our team's work lives are running. Knowing that, we can set up best practices. With these best practices, we can now go coach others. It's important to not just keep it within IT. We can take this out to the rest of our business. The rest of our business has the same issues, so we can coach them through this. And importantly for our staff, to make sure that we're setting the right workload balance and their life work balance. Taking these regular meeting blocks through the company from 60 to 30 minutes, not only do you open up the space return back to you, but think about how much compression that you get from all of those meetings scattered throughout the day. A 60-minute meeting with a 15-minute open block. 60-minute meeting right before your lunch, coming right back to a 60-minute meeting or a 90-minute meeting. Taking that and finding ways to compress it back down for value, opening up time for yourself, opening up time for the business, you're spending a lot less time in rooms. So what was our impact to the business? Obviously, it was important to the team. We saw it immediately. The next best person I need to go to is the person who's going to be the most important, our CEO. So he was walking around the floor. I thought, I got a chance. Rarely can you grab the CEO and go, I want to show you something really cool. It's a piece of technology. Don't be afraid. So, okay, Bill, let me take a look. He walks over. I open up my email. And I said, wouldn't it be really interesting to see how often somebody reads your email? Sure. About how fast? Can't do it. Click. My analytics right there. I had one of his emails up. Probably should have read the email a little bit faster, but it worked. He's already curious now. So I've switched right over to my analytics. And I show him this. You've got the different buckets of where your time is being spent. You can identify goals for those. So you can set your own personal goals for meeting time, for after hours time, for email. And I showed this to him. His first words were, wow, that's really cool. I'm thinking, okay, here's a CEO of the company who likes a piece of technology. Why? And his next statement was, what does it do for me? Perfect, because now I already have him hooked. He wants this. I spend 10 minutes with him explaining to what it is going to do for him. He's driven by data. He wants to run the business by data. He runs his life by data. He has a dashboard now for his personal business life and how he communicates with the rest of the business. And his first comment to me after that was, it needs to go on everybody else's. So on Monday, when I return back to the office, the rest of the executive staff and our VPs will all have my analytics turned on. And now seeing the new addition of the important people, we will automatically tag his team and their teams into their My Analytics, because this is how they're going to drive their business every day. We've become more efficient. We're spending our time better. No longer is it a gut feeling, which you all have. You know that you're doing these things. Now you have something you can look at and take action on. And not only take action on it one time, you can make a change. We have a new template for our business meetings today. But in 3 months, we might have a new idea. We can apply it and watch it change in the analytics that fast. We know that we can make change. We know we can see the effect of it. If it's good, we add it to our best practices. If it takes us in the wrong direction, it's real easy. We step back to our previous best practice. So what's next for us? Getting this out to everybody. Yes, the executives, it's important. Their value, their time is more valuable. I need them to be as effective as possible. The next level of leadership, just as valuable. Department heads, division managers, just as valuable. My staff, equally valuable. The electricians in our field who are technology enabled, valuable. If I have an electrician in the field, and we'll call it at $1.50 a minute, and he's spending 40% of his time in meetings and 30% of his time reading emails, where am I applying my dollar? Not in the right place. Getting those analytics to the individuals and eventually back up to the team leaders and the managers is a key component for us to get better in a very, very tight market. So, with my analytics, we knew we were good. I got feedback, I can be better. It let us have conversations, it let us see the data, and it let us drive to better solutions for ourselves. None of this is possible without that feedback loop. Thank you. And next, Peter Mabee. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Peter Mabee. I'm the Group Program Manager for Workplace Analytics and Dove Analytics. I'm really pleased to see so many of you here today. I was part of a small team of people 18 months ago that started thinking about this space in Microsoft. And of course, we've now partnered with a company called Volumetrics in Microsoft and have started to take some really bold steps in new directions with this product. So I'm really excited to be here with you today. Second, I want to say thank you very much to Bill. It's really exciting to have him with us here today. I spent some time with him and his team in July earlier this year and was really, really, really inspired by their story. I was inspired by the trust and collaboration that exists in Cupertino Electric. And I really couldn't get out of my head this description he gave of these Monday morning meetings where his employees share their dashboard. And one of the things I found really exciting about that was that they do that voluntarily because they want to have a conversation as a group and they want to have a conversation as a man with their manager about how to make change happen. And they value and appreciate that data-driven conversation. And I felt really good that my product had helped those people, and it really inspired and gave me an appetite to make more happen in this space. And one of the things I became convinced of was that we could use Dove Analytics not just with individuals, but with individuals and the people with whom they collaborated to make even more powerful the impact on these businesses. So I want to talk today about how we've expanded our thinking in three directions. First, as you saw, for example, in what Nick showed with the PIN important people, we want to help you maintain and develop your relationships with important colleagues in your organization. These are people with whom you have or want to have strong ties of collaboration and trust, and whose patterns of work strongly impact yours. This is typically your manager, your peers, your employees, if you are a manager. I'm going to come back to that. Some of us call this the new wave of features, the managers are people too set of features. So we'll come back to that. But it also includes your customers and people with whom you collaborate on particular projects. Second, we want to empower these collaborative groupings to make change happen locally within their own virtual organizations. As you saw in Cupertino Electric, data shared transparently can give these groups a common way to see a problem and a common view on progress. This brings a kind of social dimension to the lesson we took out of Fitbit, which is that positive reinforcement of incremental measurable progress can add up to a big change in an organization. Third, as you saw in Nick's demo, integrating this data with Outlook can really help people manage their time and collaborate more intelligently. So I'm going to show you I'm going to show you a demo in a second, which will illustrate those three ideas, and very specifically is going to show you something we call important groups and sharing. So let me start up the demo. Just be a second. Okay. Can you see that? So to start the demo, I want to tell you about a woman named Iris. She's a writer on a small team. She's pretty good at her job, but is struggling, like many of us, to focus her efforts on the right things. She wants to understand, like Bill's team, where she is spending her time to plan it more proactively, and really importantly, not get knocked off her game as she goes through the week by urgent and random things. So she finds this new groups feature of My Analytics pretty helpful. Here, looking at the, if you look at the, maybe if I hover over them, I can show you a little bit, they'll light up, there we go. Looking at this view, what My Analytics is telling her a little bit about how she's investing her time. So the first thing here is this group called Project Atlas. And this, in Iris's life, is a legacy project which she's been trying to diminish the amount of time she spends on for quite a while. She's trying to transition it over to another team. And in this case, she didn't create this group. My Analytics knew that this was an O365 group, and it knew that she was investing lots of time in it. So it just automatically pinned it to her dashboard so she could track it. Here, she's feeling pretty overinvested. 16 hours this week is a lot of time on this project. She's trying to get rid of this. So this is too much for her. The second group here is GrowPM, and this is the amount of time she's spending with her peers, people who report to the same manager. Once again, she didn't create this group. This group was created for her by My Analytics by looking at AAD and knowing that all these people reported to the same manager. So for Iris, investing time in her peers is pretty important. That builds trust, it builds camaraderie on the team. So she wants to invest in these people. And for her, 3 hours doesn't feel like enough. The third group here is key customers. This group Iris created on her own. She said, hey, I want to group together some of my key customers. I want to track trends and progress and how I'm spending time with those three customers. So she created that group herself. So she's looking at this, and she feels like, wow, the amount of time I'm investing with my peers doesn't feel like enough. And she's not getting nudges about how to change that. So she says, hey, I'm going to set a target and ask My Analytics to help her stay on track as she moves forward. So she clicks on this, and she goes in here, and she says, hey, I'm trying to estimate, hey, maybe about a third of my time should be spent on peers. So she enters that target. From now on, My Analytics is going to know that group's important, really important to her. It's going to know what her goals are for how much time she wants to invest in that. And it's going to start giving her nudges to change her behavior as she goes through the week to try and stay on track with that goal. She also looks over here to the right. You can see a little bit of a breakdown of that group. So that group, her peers, this shows her a little bit of a breakdown of that. And she looks at this, she says, hey, I'm spending a lot of time with Noelle, that feels right, but I'm not spending any time at all with Kat. And Kat's a new employee on our team, and she feels kind of bad about this. This is a new employee, she wants to show her some love, but she's not scheduled to spend any time at all with her this week. She scrolls down a little bit, and she notices another piece of data. Here, it's been 3 weeks since she last had a one-on-one with Kat. So that's a kind of second signal for her that indicates that she's not really investing at all in her relationship with Kat, which feels like a bit of a problem for her. She also looks over here, and she gets some indicators of how she's engaging with this group overall. And we call this metric responsiveness. And this tells her how much, you saw this in Nick's demo, it tells her how much time she's taking to respond to emails from this particular group, not overall, not with an individual person. And she feels like, hey, these numbers are a little higher than she'd like them to be. So she decides to have a little bit of a timeout at that very second and actually do some mail. So she clicks here, and you can imagine, we haven't built this yet, but you can imagine when you clicked on this button like you saw in Nick's demo, it would actually filter for the mails from that group. I haven't got that built yet, so I'm not going to show you that. So it's going to click and open my inbox. But I wish it were filtered, but we don't have that for you today. Crossing my fingers that the demo gods are on my side. It's not looking good. Let's try that again. Hold on for a second. Again, bear with me for a second. Okay, let's try that again. There we go. Okay. So opens my inbox, and you can see that she sees a mail from Kat. She says, hey, I feel really bad about my investment with Kat. I'm going to click on her and answer this mail right away. So she clicks on her mail from Kat. And here's something we're super, super jazzed about. Outlook is going to say, hey, Iris, you said Kat was important, and you asked me to nudge you and prompt you when you can change your behavior and spend more time with Kat. So Outlook gives her a little message giving her exactly that story, and it says, hey, want me to give you some options for taking action on that? She clicks on that. Ah! Okay. Imagine if the demo gods were smiling on me. Then on the right side of that screen, you see a beautiful pane, which gives her a bunch of options for how to spend time with Kat. And one of those options is, hey, there's a meeting slot open this afternoon with Kat, and she can click on that. When she clicks on that, Outlook opens a calendar item, pre-populates it. She clicks send, and she's done. She feels great. She's invested some time with Kat. She goes back to her inbox, and she sees a mail from Maya. She clicks on the mail from Maya. Now, once again, we're super jazzed about this feature. Outlook says, hey, Iris, Maya was identified as one of your important people, but you told us that you wanted to prioritize, certainly in this week, other things other than spending time with Iris. So let's see if this works. So she, you have to imagine on the right-hand, it's not working, you have to imagine on the right-hand side of the screen is a totally awesome tile, which gives her some options and some information about her relationship with Iris, and she says, oh, actually, I have some upcoming meetings with Iris later this week. I don't really need this meeting. I've spent enough time with Iris. I can send her a mail. I can do something else to take care of this problem. And she declines this meeting. So we'll click on that. And she's done. Now, she goes back to her inbox. She finishes up her mail. Okay, hold on for a second. Bear with me for a split sec. We'll see if I can get this to work. This is prototype code, by the way. It's a little, it's got its problems. Let me try one more time here. There, great. So, a couple of weeks later, Iris comes back, and she gets an update from My Analytics, and she sees her current investment of time with these three groups. She feels really good that she's reduced her time with Project Atlas, and she spent more time with her peers. That makes her feel great. but she's still a little shy on time with this customer group. So she's still feeling a little bad about that. Now, what she'd like to do is go talk to her manager, whose name is Mike, and solve this problem with him, have a good discussion with him about how she could solve this problem. And that's a kind of tricky conversation. I don't know how many of you have gone through that kind of conversation before, but it's kind of a tricky conversation when you go to your manager and say, hey, I'm not really finding enough time in my day to get to this thing. It's really important. I love to talk to you about that. And it's hard because it's hard to bring someone up to speed on the things you are working on when you want to talk to them about the things you're not working on. But with my analytics, she has a good, interesting new way to have that conversation with Mike. And we're really excited about this feature. It was really inspired by Cupertino Electric. It was inspired by those Monday morning meetings where employees were sharing their dashboards. And instead of having to get together physically in a room and turn around a laptop, we're building a sharing feature that will allow people to share their data with others. So she clicks on this to go to her dashboard. And there's a new button up here called Share. She clicks on the Share button. She gets some options depending on her relationship with the person she wants to share with. She gets some choices about what she wants to share. She feels she really wants to be open and transparent with Mike, so she shares everything. She clicks Share here. That opens up a sharing tab and an email, just like everything else in Office 365. She shares that with Mike. So Mike and she have a conversation. He looks at this data. He's a data kind of guy. He feels really convinced about the problems that Iris is facing. And he decides to accelerate the transition of this project over to another team. So he escalates that with one of his peers and helps Iris out by escalating the transition of that Project Alpha to another team, which gives her more time to spend with customers. So that data really helped facilitate a conversation between Iris and Mike. So let's shift gears a little bit and take Mike's point of view. In addition to having this small team that Iris is on, he has a large product team of 80 people reporting up to him. He knows everyone's name on that team, and he thinks of them as colleagues. He's a pretty good manager, and like Bill, he's kind of data-driven. But he also has great judgment. He considers lots of data points before he makes decisions. And I want to talk today about how Mike appreciates my analytics as kind of a complementary data point to other things he's thinking about in his team. So Mike has a bit of a sense from his team. They're a little more stressed than usual. And he's at the end of a shipping cycle, and it's not unusual for the team to be stressed, but this seems a little worse than usual. And he's a bit worried about this because he knows that execution risk and employee dissatisfaction can build up quite silently and put project execution at risk and put employee satisfaction at risk. He's talked to his directs about this, and they seem a little bit worried but aren't sensing anything particularly unusual. So Mike was kind of pleased when he started leading the team. Oops, one more thing here. We have to see if the demo gods will smile. Give me a second. Good. So Mike was pretty pleased when he started managing the team that my analytics started sending him proactively reports designed to make him a better manager. And this is the one he got this morning, for example. For those of you who are curious, Mike didn't have to do anything to set this up. My analytics looked in Active Directory, identified that he was a manager, identified the members of his team, started calculating metrics based on that, and started proactively sending those reports to Mike. So this morning, as you can see here, he gets a report that it's the sixth consecutive week of what my analytics thinks is increasing time pressure on his engineering team. So he's super curious about that. So he clicks on that link, and it opens up a dashboard. And this is what I was talking about, the managers are people too feature. So let's have a little look at this dashboard. So in the top left here, you can see this alert that engineering seems to be under stress. So let's leave that to the side a second. We'll come back to that in a minute. Mike looks at another couple things. First, he looks down here to the bottom left at manager engagement. We believe, and the data suggests strongly, that there's a bunch of indicators of manager engagement with employees that drive or are correlated strongly with employee satisfaction. So let's look at a couple. One is manager responsiveness and one-on-one time. So Mike looks at this dashboard and he sees that his managers, the managers on his team, are being responsive to employees. That's good. He feels good about that. He also notices that managers on his team are spending adequate one-on-one time with their employees. That's good. That's a critical function of managers for healthy teams to spend quality one-on-one time with their employees. However, there's one thing a little worrisome here, which is managers are having an increasing number of urgent, late scheduled meetings they're having with employees. So we can detect the time between when, obviously, we can detect the time between when a meeting request goes out and when the meeting occurs. And that is often correlated with kind of stress and a little bit of chaos in an organization. So that's an interesting indicator to Mark. He also looks up here to the top right, and he sees some data about cross-team collaboration. Those circles are the sub-teams that report up to him. The size of the circle is the size of that sub-team, and the thickness of the line between the circles tells him about the current level of email and meeting collaboration between those two teams. We'll come back to that. He's going to click on that a little later, and we'll see what he learns there. He also looks down at the bottom right at network dynamics. This network dynamics data is not particularly relevant to this problem that he's facing, but it is quite interesting. We have a lot of data that tells us that employee network size is often correlated with success, and there's very important relationships between employee perception of manager success and satisfaction and the relative size of employees' networks and manager networks. I'm not going to go into that today, but for other types of problems Mike could be facing, that could be interesting. So he decides he's going to dig into the time pressure data. So he clicks over here, and he gets some reports on that. So there's a few indicators here. And the really important thing here is the trend lines. Often, in many organizations, as you know, trend lines are a lot more important than the absolute value of things. And every organization is going to have different numbers here. But the trend line is actually what we think is most important. So he notes a few things. He notes a significant increase in after-hours work, the time that people are spending on evenings and weekends. That he thinks is a pretty convincing sign of increased time pressure. He also notices, and you heard Nick talk about this earlier, a lot more multitasking going on. That's a bit of a worrisome sign. And he also notices that people's schedules are more fragmented. They're having less focus time. And that's a particular concern when you're dealing with a maker population like developers. That's a particular concern. And he becomes increasingly worried about this. It looks to him like it's a little worse than the last ship cycle. So maybe his worry is justified. So he decides to share that data with his engineering manager. He sends the engineering manager a report and says, hey, let's chat about this. The two of them connect, and they decide to gather a little more data. So they schedule some one-on-ones with employees, they schedule some town halls, and they decide to add a little love with some spending on morale activities, try and get ahead of this problem. So let's come back to that. He works that for a few days and talks to a lot of employees, and he's starting to get a sense from these direct conversations with employees that what the data suggests is true is actually correct, that he does have a time pressure and stress problem in his organization. So he remembers he wants to gather one more data point, and he remembers that collaboration between the PM and dev organizations seem to be decreasing. And he worries a little bit about that because PMs can be pretty critical in the late stage of a ship cycle to keep execution on track. So he goes back to his dashboard and he digs into this cross-team collaboration report. And here he gets, for each pair of sub-teams reporting to him, he gets some data about the trend of collaboration between those two teams. And he notes that it is indeed true that the collaboration between PM and engineering is going down a lot. And he had heard this from a few developers, and he was a bit mystified by it. And he was a bit mystified because his directs hadn't really noticed this. And a lot of his PM leader had moved on to focus on the next generation of product planning, but he hadn't expected the individual contributors on the team to be doing that. So he looks at this data and he follows up with his PM leader. And what it turns out was happening was that the ICs on the PM team had gotten all excited about the next generation product and had kind of let go of the current execution pattern. And that was really kind of leaving the devs a bit in the lurch with the late stage execution. So after some conversation with his managers, they decided to appoint one PM to kind of stay on track of current execution and make sure that the devs are supported through this late stage in the execution cycle. So I think I'm going to stop there with the demo. We've seen how Iris used My Analytics to see the truth about how she was spending her time. We've seen how Outlook can help her stay on track as she goes through the week. We've seen how sharing can help her and her manager solve problems together. And we saw how Mike used groups to detect emerging trends in his team. I want to say thank you again to Bill from Cupertino Electric. A lot of these ideas were really inspired by the work he was doing with his team, and we're really excited about the collaboration we've had with them. My Analytics has always been about empowering individuals to be better. And these new directions recognize that managers need additional views to be effective in their particular roles and to help their teams be successful. And also that we need to empower individuals as part of groups to really drive local change. We're super excited about that, and we really invite you to join in the next wave of product innovation. We invite you to try the product, give us feedback. We're iterating really fast. We'd love to get your feedback. You can go to office.com/myanalytics for more information. That's office.com/myanalytics. You can get some contact information there. We'd love to receive your feedback. And if anyone wants to talk further, please, got to switch back to here. There we go. Second, we have one last video to leave you with. Can I just click this?
Now, I don't know about you, but the peripheral devices allow information to be retrieved from an external source.
Sweet. We'd be happy to answer your questions, hear your feedback.
Yes, I just want to take a second and reiterate what Peter said about the innovation cycle that we're on right now. Users, feedback, we're really working on iterating quickly in this product category. Jump into the product, send us feedback, and we're responding to it rapidly. So we really want to get that flywheel going. We have about 10 minutes left for Q&A. We'd love to have you approach the mic, or I'll repeat your question if you're kind of a far away from the mic. Yeah.
I think that's
okay.
When will you have this available for us to actually start using? I mean, how can I deploy this today?
So the question is, when will this be available to start using, and how can I deploy this today? The stuff that I showed in the early part of the session is all available today. It's a part of E5, or it's an add-on to E1 and E3. So you can go into your admin portal and add the subscription to your tenant and try it out with a set of users or all of your users. The future scenarios around share and groups functionality are coming in the next 3 to 6 months, with the sharing features coming first. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. So the question is, the statistics look great, the product looked awesome, we're interested in some APIs to be able to port some of this information into other surfaces like SharePoint Online or Team Sites. Peter, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly part of our long-term roadmap. It's not going to happen in the next 3 to 6 months, but it will happen eventually. We're, you know, our vision is that this data become available to third-party app developers and anybody who thinks they can make use of it to make people's lives better. So we're gonna start by building these first-party experiences, but we do want to open that up and see if others wanna use that data as well. If you have specific ideas in mind, I'd be happy to drop me a note or talk to me afterwards, and I'd be happy to hear more about your ideas. But we definitely want to go there.
Yeah. Yeah, so the question is, does this only track your activity on the Outlook client, or will it catch activity in Outlook Web Access or mobile, et cetera? And so the way that this works is it's around server-side signals of unread and read and timestamps that are happening within your email and calendar experience. So it's really device agnostic. It could be mobile, it could be tablet, you could be OWA, you could be client. We'll capture all that information. Anything to add?
I mean, the only thing to add to that is that's true currently. We are quite interested in signals that we can get from mobile clients to help enrich our understanding of behavior here. For example, we've done some studies with what we call dwell time, which is the signals from the Outlook client about how long people are spending doing certain tasks. And we've done a lot of work on understanding email habits within Microsoft, particularly how much time people spend reading emails. Which is a very interesting study, but that's something we'd like to add eventually to enrich our understanding of behavior with that kind of client-side data. But right now, it's all based on server-side data.
Yeah. The question is, are there any connections into Yammer in the plan? So what we have planned on the roadmap, I think, is Skype next, and then documents after that. The aspiration is to be across Office 365, which of course include Yammer, but that's over time and into the future.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, so the question is, what was the rationale for rebranding from Delve Analytics to My Analytics, and do you need Delve to be enabled to take advantage of My Analytics? So there's a couple things at play here. They're actually separate products that we sell separately. So we had significant customer questions around, you know, we get questions around how does Delve work, and they'd really be talking about Delve Analytics, or they'd say, how does Delve Analytics work, and they'd be thinking of Delve. So there was a little bit of a disconnect in the way that customers were interpreting these products that were related but really distinct. And the fact that we were actually selling them separately contributed to that as well. Currently, you still need to get through the Delve web experience to access the My Analytics dashboard. That will change over the next couple months, where you access it through its own app and the app launcher, at which point there will not be a dependency on Delve. For now, a tenant has to have the Office Graph enabled to have Delve available in the app launcher to get into the My Analytics experience. So there is a bit of a dependency. You don't have to have Delve active for everybody to be able to do that, but to be able to get to the access point, Office Graph has to be enabled. Yep.
Okay, maybe I'll just add one comment to that. One thing that kind of excites me about the new branding is that I think we recognize, as I said in my demo, that Outlook is a really important surface for helping employees really use this data to become more productive and more effective. So, the new branding, I think, positions us to be more generally part of all the Office 365 services, particularly Outlook. So you're going to see that direction coming in the next few months.
Yeah. So just to repeat the question, it's an exciting tool for a majority of folks, but have we found pockets of resistance around the potential monitoring aspects of the tool? Certainly something that comes up, and we've taken a pretty hard line around privacy. We're very interested in preserving end user privacy. So the way that the tool actually works is that most of the information that's provided to you is already discoverable to you. Like, you could mine this information from your calendar and your inbox if it was worth it for you to take that time. Now, information that's not already discoverable to you is aggregated and de-identified. And so you'd never see the individual's time in meetings or individual's time in email, but you could see for a group of individuals, or in the case of the dashboard today, a company average of time in meetings. So we're really focused on protecting end user privacy in that way. And we found that, for the most part, that's able to kind of ease the concerns that come up in that space. But we're very interested in feedback on that as well, because that's something that is certainly top of mind, especially in certain geographies. I think there's another one here. It's a good question. So the question is there a way to get onto a preview ring to see the capability sooner as it comes out? As we go forward, are we publishing it into first release as release features?
Yeah, there is a preview ring, and we have a few customers that are in that. If you wanna join that, maybe send me a mail and we can chat to pmaybe@microsoft.com or Nick.
NickRobb@microsoft.com. Yeah. It's an additional license. The question is, can we clarify about the add-on for E3? So it's an additional license that you can assign per user. That's a separate charge, additional to E3. I see the positive reaction to that information. Yeah. Anything else? Well, thanks so much for joining us. As we said, get into the product, give us feedback. We're all ears, and we're looking forward to the next steps, and look forward to connecting with you.
Thank you.